I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to It's Your Funeral, the podcast where we interview guests about the most important day of their afterlives. As ever, I'm here with the father of funerals. It's Sam Hammond, a.k.a. At Von Cruz. How are you, Sam?
I'm fine. Why am I the father of funerals?
Because it was alliteration and I needed to come up with something quickly.
That's poor planning.
As per usual.
You've not done one of these for ages and that's all you come up with.
I apologise, but I don't mean it. As ever, we want to hear from you guys at home about any weird, funny funeral stories. If you've got anything, please send them to @podit'syourfuneral on Instagram or podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. That's podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. But our guest today is radio and television presenter and former band manager, George Lamb. How are you, George?
I'm all right. Nice. I'm just looking at the sign. No vaping, no smoking, no drinking near equipment. Respect your neighbours.
How many of those are we breaking, would you say?
You're drinking near equipment, definitely.
Yeah, there is a bit of that.
Yeah.
Are we lacking professionalism, George?
No, it feels... I'll tell you what, it's slick in here, guys. Like, I like it. It's a nice spot.
Yeah. It's not ours, but, you know...
Or whatever, you know, just for the day.
You could have pretended. But yeah. Sam always... He loves to tell the truth. Now, George, I introduced you as radio and TV presenter, but actually, over the last 5 years, I believe the term we should use in management speak is you've pivoted.
I've definitely pivoted. So I started an education program called Grow about 2.5-3 years ago now, and we work in schools and we work in communities to promote mental well-being, physical health, and a more hands-on relationship with the natural world, basically. So
what got you into that? What made you start that incredibly impressive, envious, well-meaning vocation?
I think like everybody, at some point you start questioning who you are and why you're here and why we're doing, you know, what's the point in all of this, basically, you know. And I was quite lucky. I kind of did all right commercially when I was young and kind of had a lot of the stuff that society tells you that, or you're conditioned into believing, will make you happy, and I was able to kind of get my hands on that or experience that quite young, and then of course it doesn't make you happy, and then you start a kind of, you know, passage of deeper inquiry, and I suppose, you know, like you go through all different, every different emotion. There was a lot of kind of despair for humanity, but then in the end you can't just be like, what am I going to be in despair for the next like 60 years? That's miserable, you know. So then you're like, all right, well, you know, how do we change things? And really, if you want to change the system, then you have to, like, education's pretty much the only way you're going to do stuff. And so I decided I was going to get into education.
So when you were on TV, every girlfriend I had or friend, they were always like, oh, fucking hell, I fancy George Lamb. And now you're actually just a nice bloke as well. You can get fucked, mate. What are you trying to do? Save some girls for the rest of us.
It's just a ruse, mate. It's just a ruse, basically. Yeah.
You absolute bastard.
And is that what you've been ploughing your time into during lockdown?
Oh, hello.
I didn't even mean that. during lockdown, have you been able to keep working on that?
Yeah, definitely. So we're piloting a project up at a big school in North London called the Totteridge Academy. And we have, because the universe kind of was shining on us, so I chose that school because my buddy's the head teacher there, but also because it had a 6-acre field adjacent to the school where they weren't doing anything. It's just at the edge, it's like the top of London, so the beginning of the green belt. And they had this field. They didn't have any money to do anything with it because, like every other school, they don't have any money. And so I went there and I was just like, you know, basically, very long story short, it kind of, I read a book that a friend had written called How Soon Is Now, which is about the kind of ecological mega crisis, which of course now is something we talk about every day because of Greta and XR and all the rest of it. But 3 or 4 years ago, you know, like that was, it was kind of fresh to me. And all that information you'd see on the news, you know, like, you know, 60 harvests left. If the temperature rises 1.5 degrees, we're finished, you know. And all,
is all that true?
I don't know if it's true. I don't, you know, but like, but certainly there seems to be like, you know, kind of like, you know, a lot of the world's smartest people who've spent their entire life, you know, like devoted to figuring out whether it, whether we're on course for Armageddon, are suggesting that we might be. And so, like, I'd rather find out they were, I'd rather try and do something about it and then find out they were wrong than just, you know, kind of, yeah, you know, march boldly on, kind of. Yeah.
Well, at least, you know, well, you know, sort of putting it back onto the topic of the podcast, when you die, you'll be happy that you've sort of done your bit to try and save the world. That's, whilst me and Barney will be like, we made a shit podcast that no one listened to.
I think most importantly, George is our first guest who I think is on his way to a knighthood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you
wouldn't accept it?
I wouldn't accept
it.
No,
I could see it in your face straight away.
Because they're racists.
Because I think the whole system is flawed, you know.
No, like, I'm not into the monarchy. I'm
yeah, I definitely know you're rid. Not. I definitely know you're not in the monarchy, mate.
unless it's to utilize their image for meme success.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're definitely, yeah, you're doing well out of that.
That's true.
Yeah. I have to bring this up. So as I left my house today, my missus was like, she said to me, she was like, I want you to be very clear with them that it was me who put you on to Vom Cruise because I, quote, unquote, am the funny one.
Thanks,
all right,
Mrs. Lamb.
So she's not Mrs. Lamb yet, but she, I mean, she,
it, she if might I, be one day.
Certainly in spirit and like, yeah, love levels. But again, I don't know. Yeah. Neither of us are particularly into marriage and, yeah, like signing a,
yeah,
contract and all
that,
that.
But yeah, she's obviously very funny and likes funny people.
Very funny.
Well, the irony
very
is, of funny, course, Sam started this by saying all his female friends fancy you, and now it turns out your missus fancies him.
Well, she doesn't know me, but yeah, she might fancy a meme.
That's where I'm taking. So, as Sam said, in keeping with the nature of the podcast, I have to ask you, I ask all our guests, what is your funeral experience, George? That can mean anything you want it to mean, by the way. It's a purposely vague question.
Yeah, so Sam told me I had to think about this today. So I thought about it a little bit. And,
whilst you were digging some carrots.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wasn't actually. I mean, look, the reality is I'm not on the farm every day, but I'm certainly involved in it. And
are you the Michael Eavis of the project?
Yeah, I suppose I am the Michael Eavis of the project.
When we're doing a festival.
Yeah. I definitely want to be cremated, like, that's for sure. And I'm sure, you know, like,
why?
Why? Because I don't know. I find it odd to, like, go into the ground in a, you know, like, I don't know. I believe like your spirit's gonna leave and you're off into the you know, fifth dimension and like, whatever. Who cares where the carcass goes? And actually, I think it'd be more fun to kind of burn it and share it round and. Yeah. And you know, I'm sure everybody says the same thing, but I hope they have a big party when I die. And I hope, I was thinking about, I always had this, not always, but when I was younger, I thought a lot about the kind of music from my wedding. And I always...
But you're not now into getting married.
Well, so then I wasn't, and now I'm not into getting married. Yeah. So now I keep thinking, like, what's the point in my life when I'm going to be able to get this lineup? And so...
playlist. Oh, an actual line? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I want to hire the Gypsy Kings to... They would be like...
They're a lot older than you, aren't they?
The Gypsy Kings?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah, definitely, so definitely.
Hopefully you'll outlive them, mate.
Right, okay, yeah. Well,
oh,
I didn't
God,
think
he's
of
really
it.
Ruined the actual...
I didn't think of it like that. But I suppose I kept thinking if I kind of pop my clogs soon. You know, like, Christ, if I pop my clogs and I'm really old, whoever's around's coming, basically, yeah, you know, like, whoever's left. But if it happened now, I would like to get... I would like to get Gypsy Kings. And then also I was going to have EZ, was going to DJ. And everybody, and then Rodigan was going to do the second day, you know, when, right, you're all, yeah, kind of having like lunch or whatever.
They come down,
exactly, yeah. So that was my plan.
You better die soon then, and, you know.
Yes, exactly. Make sure you're invited.
That's a good plan. So, you know, you want cremation, you want a mini festival, but is there that sounds more kind of wakey to me, which we'll get to. So is there a, have you ever fantasized about your funeral, and have you ever thought where it would be? Would you have it? So, for instance, I've always thought mine will be in a church, despite the fact I'm not even in the slightest bit religious. Have you ever thought about where you would like this service, if there is one, to be? And if not, think quick.
Yeah. So my favourite place is a place near where my mum lives, which is down in like the Black Mountains, just between England and Wales. And there's the beginning of the Black Mountains is called Black Hill, and there's a big flat topped mountain called the Cat's Back, and like on a good day it'll rival anywhere basically. And so I'd quite like to have it up there and you
an
know
outdoor do.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Nice.
Sounds like a very picturesque, romantic place to take girls on a date to me.
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's a great date spot. I mean, it's not great if you get it the wrong day and the weather's
then
horrible,
you'll die.
Then it's you definitely wouldn't be thanked for that. But it's yeah, get
okay,
it.
Okay, so a nice
day.
Outdoor service, Sam. That sounds
great.
Cremating's
good as well, because if you go to like a country church, when you walk into the churchyard, you always sort of walk up, and it's always like a bit of a mound and a hill, and that's because they're so fucking stacked with bodies. The land's built up as you walk in because they've got like hundreds of years of bodies,
really?
Like thousands
right,
of bodies. Yeah, they, you know, about 200 years ago, they just get rid of all the headstones and stick a load and more in. You
really?
Know,
those headstones we're seeing, that's like a 1 in 5 kind of ratio, basically.
I think so. I read this thing, and at the end of the day, unless you're an important person, like really important, in about 200 years, none of us are going to be remembered, are they?
Yeah.
Are we? And our gravestones aren't going to mean anything to someone. So if it gets kicked over, someone will be like, oh, fuck that. It's a skip. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So,
I think cremation's a good idea.
Yeah, cremation. Although there's something, I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but there is something, and this isn't necessarily how I want to, I'm not sure I want to be buried, but the idea of being buried and then me potentially at some point becoming another living thing. There's something egotistical that I enjoy about that.
I turn into a tree or something.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that. You know, that's nice. I mean, but
yeah, but you still become, if your ashes still be minerals and they go into the ground and all the rest of it. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, like what's the difference between the decomposed flesh and carbonized flesh?
I'm not suggesting there's any real scientific logic behind it. Purely my ego that I could potentially be a tree.
Talking of ego, do you know that Nicolas Cage has built a pyramid tomb for himself in New Orleans? This is what endless amounts of cocaine and money do to you. He's built like a pyramid. Already built, ready for him when he dies.
In a graveyard or in a kind of public space?
He's in a graveyard, but he's like got the biggest plot. He's like, you know, it's quite elaborate.
I mean,
just from the outside, he seems like a very peculiar man, you know. I mean,
based on that Wogan clip that I've watched time and time again. Have you seen that clip from when he went on Wogan in the late 80s?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
He jumps around everywhere and does the splits and all sorts.
I love him, but yeah, you know, he's an egomaniac.
He's an amazing actor, but has done some very odd choices of films. He's definitely one of those actors who does films for art sometimes and then just blatant money films.
I like it when he does films that he writes and directs and he's the hero.
Which ones has he written and directed?
Some really shit ones in the past few years. But then he's done amazing films. Like he did that film Mandy like last year, I think it was, which is incredible.
I don't know it.
But there was about 5 years where he made all the films for himself. And he made like a remake of The Wicker Man, which is a piece of shit. You know, it's so bad. Yeah, but it's funny because it's him. Yeah.
Adaptation is one of my favourite films.
Yeah, so good film. Yeah. I actually saw that on my first date with the longest term girlfriend I've ever had.
Which one's that?
Her name's none of your business. You might know her. I have to bring it back round to funerals. George, have you... or would you give any thought to who you would invite / want there at your big day? And who you wouldn't want?
Oh, some heads of state, definitely. I like open house, man. Like, uh-huh. For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A bit like, I mean, I wouldn't want to be presumptuous enough to think that, you know, there'd be people that desperate to go that I'd have to be shutting them out, you know?
It's just a hill. It's a mountain. Yeah, so if anyone can go.
Exactly. If that's what's happening, you know, that's where it's going to be. That's the time. If you want to get up there and get amongst it, you're welcome.
And the Gypsy Kings are doing the service.
The Gypsy Kings will be up there.
Okay. What's their big song?
Bumbaleo,
Bumbaleo. Oh, yeah,
they're all like, I mean, it's endless.
Wait, so it's like every summer holiday I've ever been on.
Yeah. It's they're the best.
Turkey 98.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And would your coffin be there for this moment before you get cremated, obviously, brought in? Are you going open casket, closed casket? Do you have any? Some people, actually, and I'm not sure I brought this up in previous episodes, but some people madly have, like, their coffins decorated and stuff, don't they? Like, you've got some bloody football fans who have football club coffins or anything. Do you want something traditional? How do you want it to look? What's give me a vision of your service with your coffin
burnt,
company.
Isn't he? So are we burning you always get burned after
Burn me on the hill, man. Burn him on the hill. Big, like, kind of burning,
like
man
Burning
style.
Man, yeah,
yeah, Wicker the, Man, yeah. Back to that, man, yeah. Yeah, but not the Nicolas Cage version.
No, no.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, that's pretty. So it's just one service, burning on the hill. People cry. Are people cry? Do you want people to cry?
I think there should be some tears. Definitely, yeah. I feel that. Like often, like you cry, and then like I remember I went to my uncle's funeral, and he died way too young, and like my granny was there, and she was obviously in bits because she's there, you know, with it, and like that's not a nice funeral to be at, you know, like they're because that's real horror pain coming out, you know, and she's going, and then we're all going, and but like, you know, providing like I've lived a good life, and I've, you know, and I'm not kind of leaving anybody in the lurch or whatever, then of course, you know, a few tears just to remember, and like I loved that guy and he was great, and didn't we have fun times, or wasn't he a pain in the ass, or whatever it is, you know, and then like kind of, you know, joy. Hopefully, I remember when I was really young, we lost like one of the girls in our group. She died like when we were 18. Mm. And of course it was super sad, but like afterwards it was quite a strange like environment. Everybody was just sharing stories and like and you know, putting on tunes that she loved, and kind of like we all just kind of carried on as if she was with us, and
that's intense when you're that young to deal with that. And
yeah.
And like it must have been a head fuck.
Yeah, it was, and what was mad as well, like I went to like a different sixth form college to everybody from my school, and all the lot I fell in with, who this girl was one of their gang originally, they'd already lost someone in their group just before I joined. So like this was the second funeral inside a year kind of thing, and I don't know, maybe because they had that experience previously, they dealt with it in a different way. But yeah, I, as I was coming here, I was thinking about, right, what funerals I've been to, which ones were all right, which ones were horrific, you know.
How do you think losing someone at that kind of formative age affected you?
I'd be lying if I said she was like my best friend, you know, but I saw certainly the guy who in our group who died just before I met everybody. He was, you know, they were like a tight group of, you know, half a dozen guys, and they lost one of the gang and it, you know, like that cuts deep. You know, it's not. I think there's a lot of. I think we got a long way to go with learning and talking about death. You know, and that's something we're going to try and broach with Grow, the education program I set up. You know, we like, you know, imagine. Culturally in the UK, we have no relationship with death. We don't talk about it. You know, it's all, you know, like cloak and dagger, pretend it's not happening. And it's the only, you know, irrefutable thing that's happening to coming to all of us. And yet we've got no kind of literacy around it. And I think if we could actually change that and shift that, I think it would really have a profound effect on the way we live our lives, because then you're not it's not like it doesn't all end in this kind of weird dirty secret that we don't process properly.
Is it a survival mechanism though? So for instance, I think taking COVID is a good example of this, and I don't know if this is good or bad. I think it probably works on both sides, but you find a way to survive by thinking to yourself, it's not affected me directly yet, or in my case, and I'm fortunate, but it hasn't affected me directly yet, so it doesn't feel real. Is that the survival mechanism that humans put on themselves to get through the day?
Yeah, but everybody, you know someone who's died.
Mm.
Everybody here knows someone who's died, you know, like, and so, I get trying to get around COVID. You know, COVID didn't feel very real to me till my next door neighbour died and one of my best mates is in a coma. Mm. Now all of a sudden it's very real, you know. So I get that. But just more broadly around death, like, you know, like...
Other cultures around the world, they celebrate death and it's just part...
Part of it.
Yeah, and like, I think it's in Mauritius or something, they like dig grandma up every year. I think we've spoken about it before. They dig up the corpse every year and have a party around her.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said, George, about... your instinct, it felt to me, to say when I asked you about the person you lost when you were 18, your instinct was like, oh, she wasn't like a close friend or whatever. And I think that's a really fascinating thing that I've never talked about, which is when I was at school, a guy in the year above died of meningitis. And there was an element of me that was like, I don't know how much I'm allowed to be affected by this. And it felt a little bit to me like when you talked like that, it was like, I don't feel like I should be able to say it affected me as much as it did the group because you weren't as close. Do you see what I mean? Whereas in reality,
was
it should
friend,
just...
Though?
No, but I mean, that. I think that's where the conversation I'm interested in comes, which is like,
totally.
If you're thinking so much about it where you're double bluffing yourself, almost saying like, am I allowed to feel affected by this?
Yeah.
Then that's probably where it comes in what you're talking about in terms of being British and not having had any discussion about how you should just be able to naturally emote what you're feeling.
Yeah. When I went to secondary school, like there was a guy who'd been at my primary school who was several years older, and he'd gone to the same second. I went to a boarding school, and someone had got a message to him, and he'd come down to meet me on my first day and went, oh, I heard you went to South Bank, you know, da da da, da, like just to let
That's
you know
so
I'm
nice.
Around, and it was really nice and all the rest of it. And then he died quite soon. And I didn't know him, and he didn't really particularly look out for me. Nothing more than just every time we see each other, hey, how you doing, kind of thing. Mm. But that really spun me out. The fact he, like, I suppose because maybe that was the first time, like, a young person had died who I'd known, and that certainly that always stuck with me, and always made me feel a bit weird, and kind of like just that bit you realise about transience, And I suppose, you know, like definitely the whole, you know, I'd been out the night then. I remember, you know, giving the girl a kiss goodbye at midnight or whatever. And then at 8 o'clock in the morning, I found out she was dead, you know. So definitely it was a very strange thing. I just meant like it wasn't like my, you know, sister or my brother, you know. And so there was other people who literally, you know, it turned their life upside down.
Mm. It actually happened yesterday to me. Like a friend, don't know him that well, but we've known each other for a long time, a little bit. And I know his wife pretty well. And he dropped dead over the weekend. And he's only like in his 40s or something. We weren't close or anything. But the fact that I know his wife and his kids and stuff, it really hit me because it wasn't expected. So I was just so sad for them, you know. And when something's so unexpected, it really fucking hits you. Because we're not thinking about death day to day. We're just like, we're all going to live forever. We're all, you know, and that's... kind of a nice thing, but also for us, but it's also problematic when it does get you, isn't it? You know,
I still think it's interesting that your instinct was like, we weren't close or anything, but it's like, I feel like that's almost like the British way, or maybe the human way, to be like, we need to contextualize that, oh, it's, you know, much harder for other people. And of course it is, I get that, but it's like, we should, maybe what George was talking about in terms of, you know, if there are ways like your foundation can help with where we're all just able to feel totally free about talking about death in whichever small or large way that it hits us, then that will make things a little less British feeling about it all, maybe. Yeah. Don't know.
We're all a bit uptight and lost, and everyone's anxious and fucked because of the world. And, you know, and like the ideal way to live would be to just like enjoy every moment, be in the moment, have a nice time, and then, you know, be happy with your lot, and then die and be all right with it and be prepared for it. But we're all just, you know, I don't know, like me, just making shit memes on Instagram and not dealing with any of my problems.
Making great memes.
That George's partner really loves.
That George really loves.
Yeah, well, and George does too.
That's going to be my new sort of tagline on my bio, yeah. Okay, really great memes, George Lamb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, I can be on your Edinburgh poster. Yeah. George, I'm assuming, based on what you've said, but maybe it's a wrong assumption, that you're not thinking this is going to be a religious service of any part.
No, definitely not. I would like. Who was it who played? Who? Was it Peter Cook who did Marriage in?
I haven't seen that.
In what was that for? Princess Bride. He had an amazing cameo as a pantomime priest. I would definitely, if he was still around, I would like him to ordain it. He was great value.
I'd quite get him in on a hologram now. You can do that. You can get like a 2-pack gig. Yeah. You can go to one. So yeah, we get him in a hologram.
Kim Kardashian's dad. That Kanye.
That was fucked up. Did you see
what
that?
Did he do?
So Kim's birthday, and
is her dad dead?
Her dad died like 20 years ago.
Fuck, he was the guy who repped O.J. Simpson.
Kanye, because he's a completely normal bloke, decided to spend a lot of money on getting this like CGI version of her dad talking with an actor's voice who had a similar voice to him, saying like, "Hey Kim, I'm really proud of you and proud of everything you've done." And
what a freak show! Yeah.
And then the worst bit about it was like, "I'm really happy with the guy you've married." And then, but she, because she's a lunatic American, was like, "I love this. I love it so much. I'm so happy you got me this." It was so fucked up. I mean, what do you expect with them two?
And within a year, they were filing for divorce, funnily enough. Yeah. But I don't know if that's necessarily got anything to do with it. Would you have anyone giving readings or speeches, George?
I mean, it's a bit of a... what is it? Is it a poison...
Chalice
or something like that? Giving people, like, you know, doing readings at your funeral. My dad loves doing... I mean, it'd be sad for my dad to have to go through it, but my dad has one main... It was his first ever audition piece that he got a part on, and he pulls it out any given opportunity. He does this poem called Albert and the Lion, and...
That's his thing. Self-tape, is it?
Yeah. And you're getting it like whatever. Dead, is he? I'll do Albert and the Lion. Do you know what I mean? What is it? Like 6 months at the RSC. Right, I'll give you Albert and the Lion then. You know, like, so yeah, I'd like him to get up there and do that and, you know, bring the house down, basically.
That's good. I think if you died tomorrow, you know, I don't want you to, because, you know, feel like we might be friends.
Would be good press for this, to be honest. George, so if you wouldn't mind.
But I think if it was like publicised, TV's George Lamb is going to be burnt on this hill tomorrow, I reckon the public would turn up.
If it was like, if we were 2010, I feel like we would have got quite a few people up the hill. I'm not sure how many are going up the hill now, but...
A lot of us are still around who remember you, mate.
Okay, cool.
They could have done like a T4 at the funeral in 2010.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Now you're talking. That's a good idea, yeah.
They actually did a weird... I mean, either this is real or I remember it oddly, but they did a weird funeral show where they pretended Dale Winton had died or something. And
he did die.
No, he did die like years later. But they did an actual show where they
They weren't pretending. Yeah.
Where they pretended it was, I think it was him who they pretended died. And weirdly, he was like best mates with like Graham Souness, the former football manager. And he was
Dale Winton is best mates with Graham Souness.
So. Well, Winton's also from Liverpool, or from Liverpool where Souness played.
Souness is like the most miserable man in the world.
He really is.
How can they be friends? Dale was like a lovely, jolly,
rubbery-faced lunatic.
Anyone who's lived in Liverpool, they're all friends. We know that. My family
shared a lift with Dale Winton and that nonce from Lost Prophets.
Really?
Yeah, I was in the hospital club. I was doing a gig with my old band and I got in the lift. Dale Winton was in it. I was like, fucking hell, Dale Winton. And then that nonce from Lost Prophets got in. And about a week later, it was like, he's in jail. I was like, yeah, what a
What are the chances?
What a band we could have made. Yeah.
It's H from Steps who really suffered from all that, I think we know.
Yeah, he got his windows bricked, didn't he?
Yeah.
What did he have to do with
it? H from Steps, his real name is Ian Watkins.
Oh, leave it out.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, what? So then people were bricking.
Yeah. Poor old H from Steps. But still, all publicity is good publicity, right?
I don't know if it is, actually.
No, I don't think so.
No, that's the one case it's not.
Before we leave, just a couple more questions, George. Thank you so much for coming on. I feel like you've alluded to this being one giant festival, but I think you mentioned a two-day, a big wake, everyone just getting absolutely on it.
I like to party. Yeah. So I think it's important.
Alan Partridge is
well. What about food? Because you're growing food now.
Do you want some? I would get all my favourite chefs up there just rustling up, man, and just, you know, delivering. So really good food and really good music. Great sound system, like proper heavy duty. In fact, actually, I was going to say Function One, but my mate's been working on this thing called Polygon, I think, for the last, with L Acoustics. He's been like making this 3D sound thing, where basically you can get like high just from standing in the place. So you make like this amazing dome of music.
And that gets you high.
Yeah, they like this. It's like 3D sound. It's bonkers. It costs millions and millions and millions of pounds. You have to like, so if you wanted to play a record on it, you have to go in and remix every record basically, so it works on. And so you're in here and all of a sudden you're like, you know, like, yeah, so maybe some
that
of that as well.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
no, where really can cool. we have a go?
If that's going to cost you millions of pounds, you're going to need a sponsor for this wedding, George.
You don't, as in they spent millions of pounds developing the program, not as in you have to
every
spend
time you book
for
an event.
Yeah.
There is like a frequency
problem.
If it hits you at the right decibels and stuff, that will make you shit yourself. There's a frequency that will make you instantly cry. There's all those things, you know, that should be explored.
Sam, have you ever written a song purposely designed to make people shit themselves?
Yes, I've written a few, but no, they don't work.
And maybe that's what we should have, like just a whole kind of gamut of different.
Everyone shitting themselves at your funeral.
Yeah. Hour by hour, a different response.
Yeah. And then a hologram of me coming up going,
cunts.
That would definitely work. George, the final question that we ask all of our guests, how do you want to be remembered?
COVID.
Don't worry, I literally had a test as before I come out of the house, so I definitely don't have COVID.
You've got it now.
Yeah, so if I die, it's because of these two fuckers. How do I want to be remembered?
Young George Clooney.
I was young, I was a thinking man's George Clooney. I was a good person, and I lived well, and I experienced a lot of things and hopefully helped a lot of people and went out at peace with myself and, you know, who I am and you know, why I'm here and all the rest of it. So that's the only thing. Like, I worry, you know, like I've said it to my dad before, you know, like you've got to make peace with yourself before you go. So and I think that's important. And you know, I definitely haven't like kind of ascended into a different realm just yet, but I'm definitely on my path to making peace with myself.
Good. And most importantly, get the Gypsy Kings at your funeral.
Yeah.
George, thank you so much for
Thanks
coming
a lot,
on.
George.
Honestly, been a really amazing guest. Is there anything you'd like to plug before you go grow, maybe, or anything else?
Yeah, definitely. Check us out. We're at We Are Grow, and then lots of underscores on Instagram and wearegrow.org on interweb. And
I'm going to be asking George for a job as well.
Vom's going to be, you could come down and you could do some volunteering with Vom.
I'm surprised he didn't ask if he could DJ at your funeral. He usually does.
Didn't say volunteering because I don't really have a job. So yeah, we'll come down and pick some carrots all day.
Do some work.
Yeah, I'll basically. Do some actual graft. But you have to pay me the minimum wage.
Okay, cool.
£8.27 according to what Uber drivers are getting from today.
£8, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Guys, make sure you go to Grow on Instagram. I believe it's only one underscore based on what I saw
before. Three.
Is it actually?
Three, yeah. Someone else had had
grow underscore underscore.
Yeah.
Okay, so grow and we are grow and yeah. three underscores. Make sure you check that out. Also, follow us on Instagram at Pod It's Your Funeral. Also, subscribe to us, drop us a comment and rating Apple Podcasts if that's where you're listening to us, and send us any of your funny funeral stories. Email address is podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. Also, follow at Vom Cruise on Instagram if you want some dirty, dirty curated memes. And listen to my other podcast, Almost Famous. And we'll be back next time with another episode of It's Your Funeral. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.